Exodus chapter 12, just to kind of get you up. And if you don't have a Bible, man, I'll get with somebody with today. You're going to look at a lot of verses that'll be helpful to you to strengthen you in the Lord. And if you're here and you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. Amen. You ought to get saved today. We're going to give you an opportunity. You can get saved while I'm preaching. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you need to get saved. Amen. You say, why do I need to get saved? Because you're lost. Because you're wicked, low down, hell deserving, rotten, filthy sinner. Worse than you think you are. And you need to be saved just like the rest of us did. And I'm glad that God's in the saving business. I got a call from Brother Larry Meeks this morning. He said down there at their church in Mississippi, he said it's broke out down there. And for the last 2 weeks, if I understand him right, they haven't even gotten to preach. People starts getting saved. And they just fill the altar. And he said it started on a Sunday morning. That thing's got a little ring to it, guys. It started on a Sunday morning. Said to come back that night and folks still getting saved. Said that, well, everybody come back tomorrow night. Folks get saved Monday night. And it's been going, I think, now in the second week. And they got visiting preachers just coming in. And once in a while, somebody preached and said a lot of times they don't even get to preach. And it's just broke out. Wouldn't you like to have that break out around here like that? Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it, if it break out. And I think we've seen some of that. Sometimes we don't even recognize it. But we've been getting a lot of good emails and so forth on the truck stop tape ministry. Just want to encourage you all to continue to pray and know that God's doing something there. Exodus chapter 12. When we get to chapter 12, you know the children of Israel were down in Egypt for 430 years. And God promised them he's going to deliver them with a great deliverance. And the children of Israel's deliverance out of the land of Egypt is a picture of our deliverance out of sin and this world and from Satan. And it's a picture of how God redeems us from sin. And we're redeemed by power and we're redeemed by blood. Those two things. Now, and so when we get into chapter 12, old Moses has been having it round and round with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, he lies back and forth and gives all this nonsense and all this deception. And finally, God just really lays it out. He's going to knock him out with a punch out in the 12th round. 12th chapter of Exodus is a 12 round knockout right here because the blood's fixing to come. And he said in verse number 1, he said, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now that's a picture already that when you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ. You're born again. It's a brand new start. Amen. God says, I'm fixing to start everything new with this nation. So I'm giving you a new birthday, and that's how it is when you get saved. He said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Anybody remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ when he saw him coming down to the River Jordan? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And I'll tell you what, you say, Reggie, what are we here at church this morning about? To worship Jesus Christ? That's what we're here to preach the gospel and to say, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, that means look at him, amen. That means take a good look at him. Get your eyes off all the junk of this world and get your eyes on Jesus Christ. He said there, take a lamb according to the house of the father, a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, his house, take it according to the number of his souls, every man according to his eating. You shall make count. You make your count for the lamb. Now look, it started off with a lamb. That's what it is when you're lost. Jesus is just a lamb. But as God begins to draw you, in verse number 4, it's the lamb. You begin to understand it's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through Christ. But then in verse number 5, all of a sudden you realize it's what? Your lamb. How many in here, he's not just a lamb or the lamb, but he's your lamb. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to say that on January 24th, 1982, he wasn't just a lamb of God. He wasn't just the lamb of God. He became my lamb of God that took away my sin. And how many in here knows the day that you've had your sin taken away by the blood of the lamb today? You know that day? Say amen right there. Amen. Hey, listen, I ain't letting this church house die. You ain't going to go to sleep on me. I'll run circles, jump up and down the pew. I'll tell you, we're going to worship the Lamb of God today. Amen. He said, your lamb shall be without a blemish, a male of the first year. That's the kind of lamb you got to have. Got to be without blemish. Amen. You had to have a sacrifice, a substitute, blood sacrifice, that was without blemish and, by the way, a male. I'm sorry, it wasn't a woman that died for us. It was a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. You say, I don't like that. Well, you ought to get off your little feminist trip and get in the Bible. Amen. Get with God. Anyway, he said, without a blemish, a male, the first year, you should take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. 14 is double sevens. That's double perfection and double completion in Jesus Christ. And it's the day of deliverance. And of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Watch verse 7. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall kill it. Now, a lot of folks don't like a blood religion, but we have a blood salvation. Yeah. God said you take that lamb, that little old best lamb you have. And God said you put your hand on it and you lean on it. That was a picture of you leaning your sins upon that lamb. And then they put a basin underneath and took a knife and they cut that lamb's throat. Now, y'all going to church, if you ain't careful, we forget what it meant for our sins to be paid for. Now, that was a picture of the coming lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that lamb, they slit his throat and that blood went into that basin. Then he was to take a plant called hyssop. And hyssop is a picture of faith. And that individual was to take that blood and that hyssop and dip it in that basin of blood. And that lamb there is dying, quivering on the floor, dying. And it's a picture of the lamb that had to die in our place. And by the way, you cannot get saved apart from the dying Lamb of God shedding His blood for you. But I want to tell you this much, it's not just shed blood, it is applied blood.
Amen.
And that blood had to be taken, and they took it to the door of that house. And God said, you put it on the lintel here, on the side post. And He said, you put on both side posts of that house, and you put it on the lintel, which was the beam above the door. And God said, there's a death angel coming by. And then God said, that death angel comes by, He said, every house where the blood is not at, He said, the death angel will kill the firstborn in that house. Did you know that's a picture exactly today that God, if the death angel comes by every one of us? And I'm telling you this morning, if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ by faith appropriated to the door of your heart, the death that means you're dead to Jesus Christ, you're dead to God, and that hell awaits you. I'm telling you something this morning, if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, you are lost without God. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how nice a person you are. Without the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for your sin and applied to your heart personally, you are a lost sinner on the road to hell, one heartbeat away from hell right now. Now you listen to what the Bible said. They're going over with your will in chapter 12. And look down at verse number, let's go to verse number 21. Moses called for the elders of Israel, said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of the house until the morning. Look at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when He seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Now I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, Red Shelley, if Jesus Christ does not come first, one of these days I'm going to die. I don't care. I don't know when it's going. It might be suddenly by a semi smacking me. It might be a heart attack knocking me over. I might get a disease. I don't know. But somewhere down the road of life, I'm going to die. And I'm going to tell you something. When I die, if the blood of Jesus Christ has not been appropriated to my heart, to the door of my soul, I will die and go to hell. But you know what? I ain't going to hell. You say, how you know? Because I've had the blood applied to the door, and I know that I'm safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 10, and verse number 22. Now, I want to preach real quick. I got to go to jail this afternoon to visit somebody. Okay? And I do, honestly, I want you to pray for this man I'm going to go see this afternoon. Me and another guy is going to jailhouse. Verse number 22, chapter 10, Proverbs. Everybody there say amen. What's this? The what? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh what? And He addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. You know, I believe oftentimes we need to redefine our definition of what it means to really be rich. Now, I want to preach this morning on the blessings of the blood. On the blessing of the blood. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and was God-man on this earth. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. Jesus Christ came to the end of His life there, at the end of His ministry, And he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now the Bible said that when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, that there was great sweats like as a drop of blood that came forth in his body. Jesus Christ began to shed his blood for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the Bible said they arrested Jesus Christ and they took him to Caiaphas' hall, to Gabbathaw. And if you know what you think about your Bible, you know what happened there. They begin to buffet the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an English word for taking your fist and busting him in the facial area with it. And they begin to rip his body apart, and they took a crown of thorns and they crushed it upon his head, and blood began to run out of his head, blood began to run out of his nostrils, blood began to run out of his mouth, blood began to come out of his eyes, and I believe blood began to come out of his ears because of being beaten so viciously by that crowd. Then not only that, the Bible said they took him further to a Roman scourging post. And at that scourging post, being wrapped around that post, the Bible said they scourged him. And what that means is they took that cat of nine tails in that day with those curved bones in it, and they lashed it across the Lord Jesus Christ's back, and they literally began to pull the flesh and the muscle and the sinew out of the back of his body. And I'm telling you, blood began to run down the back of our Lord Jesus Christ and drip on the floor of that place. I'm talking this morning about the fact that from the very start of his suffering for our sins, that it was blood that was being shed. Further than that, when they took Jesus Christ, the Bible said he was marred more than any man. His vision is marred more than any man. The Bible said, in other words, they had beat him and ripped him up physically and facially until he was unrecognizable as to who he was. In fact, he looked like a bloody Paul. The Bible said they took him to Golgotha, and the Bible said that there they nailed him to the tree. And when they drove those spikes through Jesus' carpals was right in here, I believe the blood came out of his hands. When he drove those spikes in his feet, I believe the blood came out of his feet. But when he died on that cross, the Bible said that after he had died, that Roman soldier walked up to make sure that he was dead. And the Bible said that he thrust a spear under the side of Jesus Christ, and forthwith came out blood and water. What I'm saying to you is this morning, that from the time Christ began to suffer for our sins, according to the Scripture, he shed his blood for our sins. And there was blood. I'm telling you, when they were standing around the cross, they were standing on top of his blood. Jesus' blood was literally poured out of his body in a sacrifice for our sins. But you see, that man back in Exodus who was doing that picture of the lamb applying that, Jesus Christ is not only the lamb, Jesus Christ is the man, priest, who took that blood and put it. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, he took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat of the true tabernacle in heaven. And that's how you and I can be saved. It's because God looks at you and I, when you've had the blood applied, he doesn't see your sinfulness and your wickedness and your rottenness. He sees the blood of the Lamb that died in your place. And by that you can be saved by grace through faith. Now, whether you understand it or not today, you are hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will say something to you today. It's not just the blood shed, and it's not just the blood appearing on the mercy seat, and it is. Christ shed his blood, and Christ appeared at the mercy seat with his blood, but it's the blood applied. Now, listen to me. There's only one person in the world can take care of that. And that's you. That's you. I'll tell you something more tonight. Listen, I don't want to blow your theology out of the water, but I will if it's unbiblical. You making a trip to a little altar somewhere and snotting and crying and being sorry you got caught in your sin does not save you. You are never saved until the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied by faith to the heart. I'm telling you this morning, I don't care what religious garbage you've been through, until the blood of the Lamb of God has been, you may have been raised in a home education family. You may have been to church till everybody in church knows who you are and the seat knows you're coming. I'm telling you, listen this morning, but until you've been saved by the blood, you're not saved. And one of the reasons this morning that the Spirit of God is not witnessing in your heart, one of the reasons today that there's continual defeat, is because the blood of the Lamb of God has never been applied to your soul. And I'm going to tell you something. God's faithful and God's consistent and God is true. He'll never give you peace in your heart about your soul salvation until you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Until not only has it been shed, not only has it appeared in the mercy and the Holy of Holies, but until it's been applied to your heart individually. I'm saying this really did happen. Jesus really did was crucified for your sin. It really did happen. It's not just some picture thing. It's not just some story. The Son of God did suffer and die and give His life's blood and shed His blood for your sin. And He really did go into the heaven, the Holy of Holies, in the true tabernacle in heaven. And He really did take His own blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat so that God could extend mercy to I, the guilty, because the innocent Jesus died in my place. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we said over there, we looked this thing about, and I'm preaching on the blessings of the blood. I just want to say, first of all, to you here today, if you're lost, my God in heaven, get saved. If you don't get saved, I'll tell you, you're going to go to hell. And you're going to spend all of eternity in the lake of fire, sweeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth and screaming in hell. Not one day, 5 years, 50 years, 500 years, but forever. This thing's serious. You listen to me this morning. If I didn't think this is true and right and know it to be true, I wouldn't preach right now. Shut the Bible up, head out, and eat strawberries and ice cream for dinner. I'm telling you, your soul's at stake today. I'll be honest with you. I was going to preach totally on something else. And God just turned, He just took me on a right-hand turn and said, no, we're not doing that. We'll preach on the blood today. You can ask my daughters. I've got an overhead prepared. I told her, I said, we're not doing it. But I got to think about this thing. And so I'm just saying, if you're here lost, you ought to get saved today. You ought to get saved today. You ought to have the blood applied to your heart today. Well, I got to say about the blessing of the blood. And I went back and found out this, that blessing, how many like to have, don't you like to be blessed? Man, some of you didn't say amen. No wonder you ain't blessed, because you don't want it. Amen. Let me tell you something. You just about get what you want. Ain't that right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I will say up here unashamedly, flat-footed, I want the blessings of God. I want God's blessing on me. I want it on my wife. I want it on my kids. I want it on this church. I want it on your families. I want it on your marriage. I want God's blessing on this nation. Amen. And I'll tell you something, there's some blessings we can get now. I like to have myself a blueberry, cactus, briar patch shouting spell when I found out where the word blessing comes from. It comes from an old English word prior back into the, back in the 16, I meant back whenever God was in the Reformation and the European people were on fire for God. It comes from an old English word called bledsian. B-L-E-D-S-I-A-N. Now think about this for just a minute. Blessing, blood. They have the same root to them. Did you know that the church used to know something that we've told, that somehow or another we've lost it? That blessings of life from God come through the blood. And the same root word is connected, and what the Bible's teaching is, you're never going to get blessed apart from the blood. And that tells me that there's blessing in the blood. Later they changed it from B-L-E-D-S-I-A-N to B-L-E-S-S-E-N, which means consecrated. Now, blood sin in the old English terminology meant to cover or consecrate with blood. That's what the word meant. The word we know as blessing comes from this word, blood sin, which meant to cover or to consecrate with blood. And what's the message to it? You're blessed when you're covered with the blood. Amen. You're blessed when you're covered with the blood. You tell me today. I mean, some of you, it's a backward reprobate thinking that you think being blessed would have a farm and 4 four-wheel drive trucks and a John Deere tractor and a bush hog. Some of you think being blessed is getting to go to a Bass Pro with a $1 million gift certificate. You think that's a blessing. We're messed up, amen. I want to tell you what's a blessing. That's if you're not going to hell. I'll tell you what the blessing is. If you're saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that's what a blessing is. And if we'd get back to understanding what, the devil's got Americans all messed up. We think blessings is money, 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 trips and fun and no pleasure, no sin. We think that's all the blessing. When God says, no, 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 you need to understand that true blessing is being washed and consecrated and covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You're not going to hell and you got a home in heaven. That's exactly right. Now, here's what the deal was. When they, Christians, would meet one another, they would greet one another by saying, the Lord bless thee. Now what were they saying? They were saying, God bathed you in the protection of His blood. Now see, it went further than just being redeemed by the blood, that blessing. It was saying that we want you to be blessed and bathed and covered and consecrated in the blessings of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I got to thinking about that and I started going through the Bible. I like to have done a backward flip because I found out that everything that is a blessing to me in my life is through the blood of the Lamb. And that there is no true blessings, biblical blessings, apart from the blessings of the blood of the Lamb. You know, the Bible said in Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he goes ahead and says, whatsoever he doeth, you know, he'll prosper. He said, blessed is that man. We think about the Bible says to bless your enemies and to bless your persecutors. Do you know what God is telling you to do? God is saying, I want them to be bathed and covered and consecrated in the blood of the Lamb. You are praying for your enemies to be saved. That's the heart of God, who's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God is saying, I want you to have the same heart that I've got. I want you to pray for your enemies. I want you to bless your enemies. I want you to bless those that despise you and bless those that persecute you. Have the same, listen, don't want them to go to hell. Want them to be bathed and consecrated and covered in the blood of the Lamb. Bless them. Now, after you're saved, when we meet one another, and I say to Mike, Mike, God bless you. I'm saying, not only Mike, God bless you that your sins are covered and you're bathed in the blood of the Lamb as far as redemption. But I'm saying, Mike, I want you to get all the blessings that the Bible has and I want you covered by the blood in every realm of your life. God bathe you in the protection of His blood. Blessed means that we're spiritually prosperous. Blessed means that it's vitally alive in our soul. Did you know right now, if I was to take a big old tourniquet and just go back out there and just tie up one of your arms while I preached, that it seemed like I was preaching a long time today. Because you know, if I cut off the blood, what's going to happen? It's going to die. Your arm will rot off if you don't keep the blood circulating. Did you know that a church that does not keep the blood of Christ circulating in its congregation will be a dead church and has no feeling for anybody or anything else or for its other congregations? Did you know if you don't bathe your marriage in the blood of the Lamb of God, that your marriage will get dead as last year's rocks? That the blood of the Lamb won't be flowing through it. There won't be no vitality, won't be no joy, won't be no realness to your own marriage. You ought to want God to bathe your marriage in the blood of the Lamb of God, because there in the blood is the life, the Bible said. It's through the blood that's the life. And we have no life apart from the blood of the Lamb of God. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He has no sorrow to it. Amen. God says, when I give you blessings and when I give you my riches, you won't turn around and say, boy, that was a train wreck. I wish I never had that. God says, you'll never be sorry for the blessings that I make you with it. The Bible in the Old Testament teaches us that those children back in those days wanted the blessing. Oh, Father, bless me, they'd say. They wanted their daddies to bless them. What was he blessing them? He said, I want you to be covered. I want you to be consecrated. I want you to be anointed with the blood of the Lamb of God in your life. I want you to be blessed. You say, Reggie, what are the blessings of the blood? First of all, in this chapter, we learn this, that the blood gives protection from the wrath of God. Amen. I'll tell you, if I've ever had a blessing in my life, it's, you know what, I'm not afraid of the wrath of God now, because God's wrath was on His Son. And if God's wrath is on His Son, it's not on me, and I've appropriated that sacrificial death by faith. And you know what, I'm not afraid, and I'm protected from the wrath of God against my sin. I'm going to tell you something you need to know about God. God is the God of wrath. You hear me? Now, you've been sold a bill of goods about some hand-wringing, whining God up in heaven that ain't got no power to do nothing. Let me tell you something. God can shake you like a dog shakes a rat, and God will send you to hell. And the Bible said it cast him into the lake of fire. You listen to me. Whenever you're leaving this world, it's appointed unto me and wants to die. And after this, the judgment. I'll tell you, you need to be delivered from the wrath of God. And there's only one thing will deliver you from the wrath of God, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He didn't go up there and say, pull out your baptismal certificate. Are you listening to me? He didn't tell Moses to tell the children of Israel to pull out their baptismal certificate. He didn't tell them to take out how many years of straight Sunday school attendance they've had. He didn't say, pull out to me how good you are and how well you pay your bills. He said, show me the blood. Amen. If you can't show God the blood this morning, you're lost on your road to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if you're 3, 4, 5, or 10 years old. You have no guarantee you're going to come back in this church house tonight. It's appointed unto me wants to die, and after this, the judgment. But I'll tell you something else. If we get to realize that we have blessings through the blood, we might be a happier people. I'm glad tonight that today that I'm protected by the blood. Amen. I'm glad the wrath of God can't ever come against me because of protection from it. Not only are we protected, but I'm going to tell you, the blood is a provider. Did you know that God said somebody had to pay for my sins? Somebody had to die in my place. And Jesus' blood was the provider in my place and my substitute. But not only that, but one of the blessings of the blood is the power to save. I'm going to tell you something. When that death angel came to that door, he couldn't kill him. Amen. Why couldn't he kill him? Because they had the blood there, and the blood has power in it. The blood has power in it. I'm still an old-fashioned King James Bible, heaven and hell preaching, blood preaching preacher that believes there's power in the blood of the Lamb to save anybody in this world. We need to get back to that. I wonder if you've ever been saved by the power of the blood. I'm talking about being saved by the power of blood. I'll tell you something about you this morning. I'll tell you, you're so down in the grumbles and mumbles and you ain't been so near the blood of Jesus Christ alone. You don't know what the blessing. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. You may be saved, but have you got away from the blessings of the blood? Amen. When's the last time you fell on your face and said, God, I think I ain't going to hell because of the blood. I thank you, God, that if I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven because of the blood. No, you're worried about next week's bills. You're worried about the house payment, the car payment, and all the other junk the world's loaded you up with when you ought to be dancing in the blessings of the blood. Amen. Knowing that the blood's precious. And the blood was the Passover. Now I'm going to tell you something that ought to make you shout. It did not say, when you see the blood, he'll pass over you. It said, God said, when I see the blood. I'll tell you something else that ought to make you shout. He didn't say, when your neighbors see the blood, I'll pass over you. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Did you know something this morning? I do not have the capacity nor the ability to look into your heart and see whether the blood's there. Aren't you glad? But I tell you who does. God does. God knows whether the blood has been applied to your heart this morning. Brother, let me say this. In Acts chapter 21, another blessing of the blood is that he purchased us with his blood. The Bible said that we were bought with a price, and he literally said, whom the Lord Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, we have propitiation through the blood. He said propitiation through faith in his blood. You say, Reggie, what's that big word propitiation means? It means this, that a just, holy God is satisfied when he sees the blood. I've been propitiated through his blood. I've satisfied the just demands of the holy God. I'm no longer guilty. I've satisfied the just demands of the holy God. That's a blessing. Amen. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, I'm justified by the blood. That's another blessing of the blood. I'm justified. You say, Reggie, what do you mean? I'm cleared in the court of God. I'm cleared in the court of God. I am just. I mean, I didn't just get away with it. My sins have been paid for in the blood of the Lamb. I am justified by the blood of the Lamb. That's a blessing to me this morning. I don't know about you. Let me tell you something. You've been preaching as long as I have and down the gospel trail as long as I have and don't get excited about blood. I felt like I'd just been to camp meeting the time I got out of the Word of God and studied all this. If this don't mean snap to you, help yourself, but I'm going to have a good time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the Bible teaches me that I have communion through the blood. Do you know what that means? That I can commune with God. I can talk with God. I can walk with Him and talk with Him. I can have communion with God and fellowship with God. But you know how I've got it? By the blessings of the blood. I'm talking this morning that there's fellowship by the blood. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 and Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 and 1 Peter chapter 18 and in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says that we're redeemed by the blood. That means I was bought out of the marketplace of sin. That means I've got the redemption through the blood. If that's not a blessing, I don't know what it is. And that's another blessing of the blood. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now I want everybody here that normally says amen to not say amen. No. And I want the rest of you who don't normally say amen to say amen. You were redeemed by the blood. Thank you. That's a little weak, but I appreciate it. Good starter. Good start, amen. A good start. I'm going to tell you something. The day that this thing gets a hold of your heart and you quit saying, man, I don't want to get excited about this. Let me tell you something. The greatest news you've ever heard is by His blood I have been redeemed. I'm not going to hell. I've been bought out of the slave market of sin. I'm redeemed by the blood, precious blood of the Lamb. That's good news. Amen. I got another blessing from the blood. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. I've got peace through the blood of the cross, the Bible says. Peace. Through the blood of the cross. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, you know what I mean? I'll be honest with you. I got peace between me and God. There's peace there. I'm at peace right in here. You say, man, you don't act like it much time. I am. I lay my head down pillow night. I don't think twice about whether I'm going to die or go to hell. I got peace. Amen. I got peace in my heart. And that peace came by the blood. According to Scripture, that peace came by the blood of the Lamb. Who peace through the blood of the cross. what a blessing the blood brings to my life. In Hebrews, I want you to take your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 9 because there are so many blessings here. If we don't run fast, you'll have to go to jail with me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 7. Through 12 and 14, the Bible said, but the second went the high priest alone there once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way in the holiest of all was not made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. That's the Old Testament tabernacle. And that verse number 9 said that the Old Testament tabernacle was a figure for the time then present, when which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, verse 10, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. The Bible said it was cold in here early and I'm so hot now I'm a cooking. Amen. Verse number 11, it said, but Christ, look at verse number 11, everybody there say amen. Look there. But Christ, not a Catholic priest. But Christ, not a pope. But Christ, not a preacher. But Christ, becoming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, now this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, underline in your Bible, but by what? His own blood. He entered in once in the holy place, having obtained something. What? Eternal what? Do you know what that means? You want to get a blessing out of the blood? That redemption's eternal. Bunch of deadheads, I'm going home. My land alive, that means you can't get lost after you get saved. Did you hear me? That's your redemption. You say, well, my redemption is not eternal. Well, you ought to get Bible redemption. You say, I lost my redemption two or three times. You know what the trouble was? Your redemption wasn't by the blood, sister. Your redemption wasn't by the blood, brother. Let me tell you something. You get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and it's an eternal redemption. Woo! What a blessing, amen. You're talking about, hey, you know, when I get up here on Sunday mornings and act like an idiot and nattering three hornets and mess it up and I'm at the house and I'm worthless as a coon hound dog with three legs gone, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I'm still redeemed by the eternal redemption of the blood of the Lamb. It is not contingent upon my performance. If it were, I'd be in hell right now. Amen. I've got an eternal redemption. That's a blessing. Now, how many become the church after a blessing? Oh, I'm gonna have to get me some old black preacher in here. Amen. I'm gonna tell you, some of you need to get your blesser's broke. Get your blesser fixed, amen. I'll tell you something, listen, I love you people. And I love your homes and your families. And I want you blessed. And God spoke to my heart, the pastor said, Reggie, the only true blessing will come by the blessings that I give through the blood of my son. And I said, Lord, I'll do my best. God gives us peace. Amen. Look at verse number, look up there in verse number 14. It said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, do something? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what? Once you've been purged by the blood of the Lamb, going to church won't be a ritual that you think you ought to do to be a nice guy. You see, dead works is when you go to church because you're supposed to go to church. Anybody ever been there? How many hates that? Well, I know, I'm supposed to go to church. I'll meet some people there and do some business with them. Dead works. God said when you get saved and the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart, it will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, I want to tell you something about this thing. It's real. I've been saved for 20, how many years I've been saved? What's 2009 from 1982? Is that 27, 20? I've been saved 27 years and I've been preaching like a wild man for 27 years. Let me tell you something. There's not enough physical strength. There's not enough human emotion to keep me going like I'm going if I didn't have a living faith inside this heart. And there's not enough money in Wright County to make me get up here and yell and holler and go on like I do if it wasn't real. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. It's got to be something real. You know how I got to be 28 years old? I made up my mind. I said, if this thing ain't real, I'm out of here and it's done. But if there's something real, God, do it now. And God did it now. Amen. And the blood that was applied to my heart. And I'll tell you something. It purged me from dead work to serve the living God. I used to go to church because I thought, go to church. Mom and dad would be mad at me if I don't go. How many of you have ever been there? My mom and dad expects me to be there. Oh, Brother Reggie may call me. That'd be a rare thing, but he might call me. You ought to go to church because you love the Lord, because it's alive in you. Amen. That's what the blessings of the blood will do. You won't have to get up and say, oh boy, it's Sunday. Are we going down to the creek or are we going to church? The blessings of the blood purge you from dead works to serve the living God. And all of a sudden, man, the things that you didn't think you ever wanted to do, you're just excited about doing it. The things you said, man, I'll tell you what, read my Bible. Yes, I know I'm supposed to be, but no, it won't be like that. Oh, Lord, talk to me today. I get in your word and I get to talk to God and God talks to me. Purge your conscience and dead works, serve the living God. Well, look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. See another thing the blood does. Verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there ain't no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified and filled themselves with the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made of the hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. How does Christ appear in the presence of God now for us? By having the blood applied to the mercy seat. And it's the blood that makes it possible for Christ to intercede for us in prayer to God right now. Amen. You can't go to God without the blood. God even says, what's this one? God the Father even says that God the Son can't intercede for you apart or not except through the blood of the Lamb. You think about that. I'm going to tell you something. When you're donkeying around, some of you backslid this morning. Some of you walking with God. You may be at different levels of your Christian life. Did you know who's interceding for you right now? Jesus Christ. If He wasn't interceding for you, the Father, you'd be a train wreck, and you know that. You'd have no hope. And you know how He intercedes through you? And the basis of that intercession, it's the blessing of the blood. That's what the Bible teaches you right there. Hebrews 9:22 said, with the remission of sin by the blood. That's another blessing. We read a while ago. Look over in chapter 10. Go to chapter 10, verse number 10. Some people get excited about football. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not one of them guys sitting there and watching some guy I never don't know, never heard tell of, don't know nothing about him, run down there across the line and jump up and go, oh, boy! I'm going to get excited about real blessings. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to get excited about something that's real in my life. I'm going to tell you something today. You need to get there. Get there. Get there someday. Get over getting excited about something that don't amount to a hill of beans and get excited about the Word of God and the blessings of God. Look at chapter 10, verse number 10. It said there, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What? You ever heard that song, Once for All? Every priest standeth daily ministering offering, oftentimes saying sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, and what was that sacrifice? That was his blood, that was his life, forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies should be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now you say, Reggie, what do you get out of that? I'm telling you this morning, that I get out of that again, that I have a blessing of the blood is eternal salvation and eternal sanctification through Jesus Christ. It is the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now listen to me this morning. Can I tell you a little something? Anybody guess how Church Christ cult got started? You might tell me how Mormons got started. Jehovah's Witnesses. Anybody tell me how the devil concocted up Catholicism and 100 other false religions? You know how he did it? By taking away the blessing of the blood. Let me tell you how he did it. Because the key blessing of the blood past your salvation is that it's an eternal salvation because it's not contingent and conditioned upon your works. You see, you're not saved by how good you are and how well you perform. But if you are saved by how good you perform, then you've got to slide the blood of Christ over and say that it was not sufficient. And you've got to say, and then your pride and flesh puffs up and you look at yourself compared to other people and think how righteous you are when you're filth! And you're filthier now than you were then because you think something in you deserves heaven! You're filth in the sight of God. God hates self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is saying that the blood is not enough. And self-righteousness is calling God a liar and saying that the blood of the covenant doesn't save you like it says eternally. Now that gets tough, don't it? Because you know how all them false religions get started? They all get started the same way. They're just different flies of the same kind. The cross and the blood wasn't enough. Every one of them. Every false Protestant denomination, by the way, may I say, who tells you you can be lost one day and saved the next and saved one day and lost the next. You know what they're doing? Let me tell you what they're doing. They're going, on the blood of Jesus Christ. On the blood of Jesus Christ. Not enough. Jesus, your death, your shed blood, your covenant, your blood isn't enough to save me or nor to keep me saved. I've got to be good enough. You can say what you want to, but I'll show you a verse. Turn to chapter 10 and verse number 29. Chapter 10, verse 20. Now, it's gotten quiet in here. I've started preaching now. I can tell. Look at verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant. What is the covenant? It's an everlasting covenant. You just read it a while ago. God says you trodden underfoot the Son of God. You count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite unto something. What? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Despising the Spirit of grace. Let me tell you, when you get before the throne of God and you're headed there, brother, you're going to go by grace and by the blood, and it's going to be Christ, and it's nothing what you are, nothing what you've done. It's faith in Christ shed blood. Amen. Now I'm asking you here today, are you religious or are you saved? You say, I don't like this kind of preaching. You need it and I need it. It's the truth. All the cults and false religions of the world are started out because they rob God's people of the blessings of the blood. Amen. Look at chapter 13, verse 20. Well, take my word for it. You see, there's just something in me. When I get to preaching like this, boy, I just fight the devil. Amen. Because I know how that rascal thinks and believes. He don't want nobody believing in the, he don't want nobody getting the blessings of the blood. He don't want nobody believing what God's word says. Look at verse number 20. Chapter 13, Hebrews 13, number 20. No wonder I'm in chapter 11. Here we go. Verse number 20. Look at this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. What? Through the blood of the what kind of covenant? Everlasting covenant. Now, how many of you, if those of you had been in Sunday school, learning your Sunday school lesson the last few weeks, you'd have been learning about everlasting, you'd have been learning about the covenants in the Bible. And you would have right now picked up what I started preaching. You see, you know what we stated at about 3 weeks ago? That everlasting covenant, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad it's an everlasting covenant? Isn't that a blessing of the blood? Well, I'm glad whenever I've got mad at Karen and act like a scout. I know none of you men do that, your wives, but I'm glad I act like a dog. I'm glad the blood of the covenant is my basis for salvation, not my conduct toward my wife. You say, Reggie, don't you think you ought to act right toward? Yes, I ought to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And yes, God will chastise me. And yes, God will punish me if I don't. And I tell you, it's not the basis of my salvation. I'll tell you what, I'm glad sucking cigarettes ain't the basis of your salvation. I'm glad you can smoke your way all through the door. You'll have to drop it at the door, amen. I'm glad chewing tobacco ain't the basis of my salvation. I'm glad drinking liquor. Listen to me. I'm not promoting sin. I'm promoting righteousness. Let me tell you something further. If you ever get a hold of the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb, it'll produce holiness and righteousness and a desire to live right in you more than you've ever had, because all of a sudden it's God the Holy Ghost doing it, not your flesh. Amen. That was the difference with me. That was the difference in my life. You say, man, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the blessings of the blood. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Hebrews 10, verse number 19. I'll show you a blessing. You talking about a blessing? How many thinks it's a blessing to be able to pray? How many thinks it's a blessing to really get through? Amen. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. When you pray in Jesus' name based on His blood, you're getting through. You're getting through. You leave the answers and the timing and the way He wants to answer it up to Him. But I'm going to tell you something. Look at verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. You know where that's at? That's where God is. How? Tell me how. By the blood of Jesus. Hey! I get to pray because of the blessings of the blood. I'm going to go to Pentecostals. Y'all just too quiet for me. I'm going to go preach at the Pentecost. At least they'll shout every once in a while. Amen. They get excited about this. Y'all tired, hot, tired, want to get out of here, whatever. Boy, you know, why don't we have an old time runaway once in a while? I mean, what? I don't want nothing in flesh, but my land of living. I get to think about blessings of the blood, that I can talk to God.
Amen.
The God that spoke this universe into existence.
Right.
I can talk to Him because of the blessings of the blood. I mean, the Bible says you ain't going to talk to Him except through the blessings of the blood. It says, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, in chapter 13, verse number 12, He sanctifies us by His blood. Look at there in verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with what? You say, man, I want to be sanctified. Now, what sanctified means? That means you're set apart. By the way, when you get saved, you are sanctified positionally. You're set apart as a child of God. You're not longer a child of the devil. You're a child of God. When you got born again, blood of God applied, God the Holy Ghost birthed a new creature in Jesus Christ, and you were set apart. But I'm going to tell you what, even practical and progressive sanctification is done by the blood. It ain't me getting up tomorrow looking in the mirror and saying, I'm going to live better today, Reggie. That don't work. That does not work. Let me tell you what will work. You get on your knees and say, dear God in heaven, I ain't nothing but a dirt bag. Should have been in hell years ago. The old God today, would you apply the blood to my heart and sanctify me that I might be meet for the master's use today? Then you'll see the Holy Ghost doing something through your heart and your life that day. Well, that's a blessing of the blood. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. I'll show you a blessing of the blood. And anybody in here besides me sin this week?
Yeah.
I said, Pastor, did you sin? You know what I did this week? The biggest sin I committed this week. How many like to know the biggest sin I committed this week? I'm going to tell you because you need to hear it. Not witnessing to some people the Holy Ghost pricked my heart to witness to. Sir, a couple's at our table yesterday morning. Buying that furnace. Buying a furnace from them. Clear across the other side of Missouri. I was sitting there on the table and they was paying for the furnace. We was taking care of everything. And Holy Ghost said, Reggie, witness. Reggie, get a track. Reggie, get a track. Reggie, get a track. And Reggie sat there and did never get a track. That's the worst sin I've committed. That's the one that hangs high in my heart today. I knelt before God last night. I said, God, help me. I said, God, you're going to have to do something in me. The people I'm meeting need to know about Christ. They're not accidents.
Amen.
Well, you see, Reggie, what do you do when you mess up like that and sin wickedly like that? Look at verse number 7, 1 John chapter 1. We walk in the light as He is the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us from what?
All sin.
All sin. You better circle that word all in your Bible. Because I'm going to promise you this about the devil. He will tell you there's some sins you've committed that God ain't going to forgive. And that's a stinking lie.
Amen.
If that word all is not true this morning, then the rest of the Bible is not true. God said His Son's blood. When we talk about the blessing of the blood, it cleansed me from all sin. How many has had a thought this week wasn't just exactly holy?
Right.
Amen. Aren't you glad the blessings of the blood? You can be cleansed from all sin. Look at verse number 8. If we, now who's we? He's not talking to the lost world there. This is an epistle written to the church. My little children, in fact, he talks to. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. I would say 70% of American Christendom falls in that verse. Oh, well, that's not sin. That's just a shortcoming. That was just a failure in judgment. We do sin just like the queers do sodomy. We redefine the word. So the things we do isn't sin no longer. Now look what he said there. We deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us. But look at verse number 9. This is where I want to get to. Look at this. If we do what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And how do we learn in the verse 7 that cleansing comes? By the blood. By the blood. Oh, you confess your sins. God said, I'll cleanse you. Isn't that a blessing of the blood? Wouldn't it be horrible to think that we could sin and God would never forgive us? That'd be a horrible shape to be in, wouldn't it? Well, go to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. I want the pianist to come. In that box over there, Joel and Melody, there's that old songbook said, Thank God for the Blood. I've got it laid open right in there. 1 John chapter 5, I'm talking about blessings of the blood. Look at verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. And look what he did. What did he do?
Washed
us. From our sins. In what? His own blood. You say, Reggie, do you really, really believe that stuff? I really, really do believe that stuff. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I know what it's like to be washed in the blood. I know what it's like to come up from prayer and just, I mean, know that God washed me in the blood. He washed it. What a blessing of the blood. Y'all, did I get this message across today? That there's blessings in the blood. You know what? I love you people. And some of you may be like old Reg Kelly. He gets down the dip in the creek once in a while and gets stuck in the gravel. You ever start crossing old creek in an old truck, you know, and you thought you had it made, and you went, and the more you dug, the more deeper you got. And some of you this week, you may have been out in the old world, and you were spending, you were trying to move forward, but you're just getting deeper, deeper. You know what I think God wanted this for you today? Just to encourage you that there's blessings in the blood.
Amen.
Let's go to the last one. No, this ain't the last one. Go to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11. It's the next to the last one. Some of you are waiting for the last one. You said, that'll be the blessing when the last one gets it. I don't care if you bring lunch with you, bring you a bologna sandwich. Just share it with your neighbor if he looks at you hungry. Amen. We've come to worship. Chapter 12, verse number 11, look at it. They overcame him by the what? Wow, you know how you overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb. You don't overcome him by saying, I'm going to be stout and boy, I'm going to be strong. No, no, no. The only thing that conquered Satan was the blood of the Lamb. What a blessing that we can overcome through the blood of the Lamb. You know what I tell the devil when he comes accusing me? You're right. I ought to be in hell. I am worthless. Yeah, I know. But the blood of the Lamb redeemed me, justified me, cleansed me, washed me. I'm blessed by the blood of the Lamb. So we have overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. And I tell you what, this is when I about flipped out. I was almost totally done with this message. I thought, boy, this is neat. I've got a short 16-point message. And God gave me number 17. Look at it in chapter 19, verse number 11. Boy, this is a blessing of the blood. Woo! Chapter 9, did I not say that? Chapter 19, verse number 11. I want you all to see this one. I want you to see this a blessing. This is going to be more fun than a goat roping and a taffy pulling. This is going to be more fun than anything you've ever been involved with if you're saved. This is where Jesus Christ is coming back at the end of the tribulation period. And listen what it says. And I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. That's Jesus Christ. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Watch it, watch it. And he was clothed in a vesture, what?
Dipped in blood.
Dipped in blood. And you can read the rest of that. And his name is called the what?
Word of God.
You better watch what you call the Word of God.
Amen.
You better watch what you call the Bible.
Right.
And watch verse 14. Now here's where you are if you're saved. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. You see, oh, you surely don't believe that. Yes, I believe that.
The
Bible says that, and I believe that. It says he's coming back on a white horse, and it says we're going to follow the armies. We're following him on white horses. Clothed in fine linen. You say, how do you know that's you? Because the fine linen is a picture of the righteousness of the saints in Jesus Christ. White and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that it would smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture, and on that vesture, remember what's on that vesture? What is it? Blood. And on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't know this for a fact, but there's an implication there that written with blood on the vesture of Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, coming back to this earth. And you know what that means? It tells me that the first thing this whole wicked, Christ-rejecting, God-hating world is going to see is that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And there's going to be eternal victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to know something. We're fixing to dismiss here today, but before we dismiss, we're going to give you a chance today to do two things. Number one, if you're here today and you're lost without God, you say, I'm religious. I have an intellectual belief in Jesus Christ. Friend, the devils believe and tremble. That won't do it. You need to come to God through Jesus Christ's blood. And I'm telling you, listen, I know what it is. I was 28 years old, 13 straight years of Sunday school attendance, taught Sunday school, led singing, done specials. Lost without the blood. I hate to admit that, just a flat truth. I'm asking you today, let me ask you something. The Bible said this question, listen to it very carefully, Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Does the Holy Ghost this morning saying it's okay, there's peace? Or is the devil going, you're okay, it's all right? Or is the Holy Ghost saying, peace through the blood. I've got peace through the blood. I'm not up here to hurt nobody, do no damage to the cross, I pray. But it would be a great day to be saved. It'd be a great day to be saved. If you've never been to the blood, if you've never, by faith, dipped in that blood of Calvary and said, God, I place my faith in the shed blood. I want the blessing of the blood. Number two, you're here today and you're saved. It's been a long time since you realized the blessings and you need to get back to the blood. You see, you're saved by the blood and you literally live the Christian life on the basis. Did you see how many things is based on the blood today? If you really look at it in its composite, your whole Christian experience is based on the activating power of the blood through the Holy Ghost of God in your heart. Prayer, communion with God, intercession, justification, peace, all of it's in the blood. You know when I got on my face and said to God, I said, God, help me to never get away from the blood of the cross. It's a dangerous thing for a preacher to get away from the blood of the cross. Dangerous thing for you. If you're here today and you're saved, I just encourage you to say, dear God, I want that peace that comes. I want that joy. I want that blessing, that communion that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then say you're not saved, just maybe a long way from the cross this morning. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. I tell you what, we're going to sing. That's power in the blood. And I want you to know today there's still power in the blood of the Lamb. You come. Do business with God today. If you're here today and you're not saved, here's what I want you to do. Just pure and simple. You say, do I have to make a public confession of my faith? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'll be ashamed of you. Christianity is not some secret society. Christianity is an open faith and confession of your faith in the Son of God. Would you come this morning? Amen. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Would you come? Of the Lamb. Come on. Letting the Holy Spirit of God do His work today. Listen, that's those. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are washed in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Would you come? Come on. I want us to bow our heads and our eyes closed today. I want to ask you a question before Almighty God today. If you died right now, where would you be? Upon what basis do you have any expectation of going to heaven? And friend, if you have any expectation besides the blood of Jesus Christ, you have no hope and you have no expectation. In fact, your expectation is the lake of fire. And you may not understand all that. That's just what the Bible says. God is a just and holy God, and He will in no wise clear the guilty. He made a provision through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. I want to bring you to a decision place in your life. How many people in this building today say, Brother Reggie, by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the mercy of God, I've been redeemed by the blood. Not by how good I am, Not by church attendance, but I've been redeemed by His. I'm trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you slip your hand up and thank Him and just wave at the Lord and say, Dear God, thank You for the blood. Thank You for the blood, Lord. Thank You for the blood. You may put them down. You said, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm trying to get you to a place of decision, a place to break you over that path. You say, I could not raise my hand, but I'd like to be able to. It's not my intention to die and go to hell. It's not my intention. I don't hate Jesus. I've just never received Him as my Savior. It's always been a lamb, the lamb, but it's never been my lamb. And you'd say, I'm listening. The Holy Ghost is dealing with me, and I'd appreciate prayer. Now listen to me very, very closely. Raising your hand won't save you. Me praying for you won't save you. But I tell you what, there's power in prayer for the Holy Ghost of God to lead you to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You're here today to say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand. And I want to thank you for your honesty, by the way. But you'd say by an uplifted hand, pray for me. I'm not going to come back to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is between you and the Lord. But I'm sure going to pray for you. And there'll be 100, 200, or 300 people praying for you right now. You just slip your hand up very quickly and very quietly. I am not redeemed by the blood, but I need prayer. Would you slip your hand up? Hi, where I can see it. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. There's two hands there. Any more? I see that hand there. God bless you, ma'am. You may put them down. We're going to pray in just a minute, but I want to encourage you to come even now. Any other hands? I don't want to miss somebody. Maybe way back yonder and I didn't see you. Would you slip that hand and say, pray for me? All right, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and I mean this. This is serious business. I'm going to pray, but I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would come, find a place just to kneel before God and say, Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible said? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to pray. I want you to come while I'm praying. Father in heaven, there were three that I saw that raised their hands. God, I don't believe they raised their hands just being flippant about things, God. I believe they were serious as death and eternity itself. And I'm asking God that right now that you'd give them grace to step out of their seat and to come not to this church, not to a denomination, not to a religion, but to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying, God, that you'll give them grace right now. Lord, unless you pour your grace out, Lord, our flesh and the devil and the world lie to us and keep us from surrendering to Christ. But I'm asking God today that you'd give them grace to come to Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary, and to receive His precious blood applied to their heart in faith, that He died for them and rose from the dead, and that through His blood they can be saved from the wrath to come. They can be justified from all sin and cleansed and forgiven and made a child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray in His name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.